It's time for Wisdom on Replay with Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim. Wisdom on Replay is brought to you by Levy Steel, the Candywood Wine Cellar, and Cafe 422. Here's your host, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wisdom on Replay, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jimmy Devine.
Oh, there he went. He went off script again every time. I had about a three-week run. I had six different names, and he used my normal name.
I kind of like Jimmy Devine.
He was instigating it. Now
he
doesn't
like to use the Latin Devine. That's a great name.
It's a very Irish sound. I get it.
Divine intervention.
I get it. I got you. How are you, Thomas?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, we've had a good week. We've had a good week all across the board. So we have a very special guest. I'm going to let him introduce himself. Long-time client, I wouldn't say client, long time. I don't even want to say student. He's taught me as much as I've taught him. Tommy just met him a little while ago. He doesn't think so, but he has a fantastic story to tell. And we're going to make sure we get it all out of him. He might sound a little shy. Eventually, he'll warm up. So please introduce yourself, sir.
I'm Joe Campagna. I don't know why you won't say my name. It's easy. It's Campagna. Both of you. I don't know.
We've been friends. I've been friends with Joe for a long time, and I have mispronounced his last name probably for as long as we've been. I mean, we're practically family, and I still mess it up. So it's on me. And I didn't want him to look at me and go, the whole audience thinks my name is different than it is.
No, there's a bunch of different ways. As long as you get the point across, it's me. It's all right.
Absolutely, absolutely. Joey, give us a little background into your rich athletic history, and I don't mean that sarcastically. He's going to go down. I don't know if they put him in, but they will pretty soon. It's Slippery Rock University. He's one of the greatest players that ever played there. But he's being shy now.
No, I'm not being shy.
You go ahead, though. Run it off.
Hey, real quick, there's a lot of really good players that were there.
Absolutely. But you're top of the food chain.
I appreciate that. But no, man, I mean, it's been a long career or baseball journey for me. Going to Blackhawk High School in Pennsylvania, Beaver Falls, Joe Namath. Now, he didn't go to Blackhawk, but
Joe Montana, all those guys, they're all from over there.
but ended up taking the D2 route. Didn't really have too much out of high school. It was really weird. I had pro attention, but no college attention, and it was just I don't understand how that happened either, because I really wasn't too developed yet.
Well, and you had a pretty good teammate at the time.
I did, Brendan McKay. He's a really, really good friend of mine too. He's living it up down in Tampa right now. He took this year off. Not sure what he's going to be doing yet, if he's going to go back, but injuries can kick your tail.
College player of the year.
Yeah, a couple times, three times. John Olerud. See, that's a name that I struggle with.
Two-way guy of the year.
Yes, but
he didn't wear the catcher's cap though, like Olerud did.
No, he's lefty. You can't really do that. But but no, a heck of a ball player. And he honestly helped me a lot throughout my whole career. He still does. This year I was with Lancaster Stormers in the Atlantic League, and he sent me, I think, three or four pairs of cleats, couple batting gloves. I mean, he was helping me out. Now I got to be careful with the batting gloves thing, because I'm with I'm endorsed by Bruce Bolt, so I can't I can't really say that I'm using anybody else's stuff. But
for all you people listening out there, if you want to get into a story about baseball garb and baseball clothes and baseball whatever, research the Bruce Bolt thing, because it was invented by a 16-year-old kid. He came up with what he thought was a better idea about batting gloves. And every kid you run into, because they come in all these wild colors, it's amazing. And they've marketed this thing. And Joe brought the year when it first started, the craze started. Joe brought them in me. I go, get them things out of my building. I couldn't stand them. But now they're almost commonplace. Yeah, you were one of the first guys, and you were also one of their first endorsement guys.
They've taken care of me a lot. Over the last, 5 years now. 2020 was the first year I was with them, and every year they continue to reach out, the owners of the company and everybody, and they're good people. They're really good people, and I can't be more thankful for them. I can't talk them up enough, honestly.
I know Tommy had some questions about some of the endorsement stuff, and just in your travel, like I said, yours is a little more everyman. Yours is a little more Rudy. The path that you've taken, and there's a lot of guys and I know Tommy's going to have some great questions for you. There's a lot of guys that were supposedly greater or bigger and badder than you that aren't playing anymore. They didn't stay in, and it's one of those, you're going to play till they take the uniform off you. And you've been around, you got to mention some of the people that you've worked with, some of the instructors, and, you know, the kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Just the, like, kind of the Forrest Gump effect of right place, right time. This guy did this, and then this guy did this, and I ended up having this. And
right.
But Tommy, you get to know Joe. I know him. You fire away any questions you got.
Well, I'm just wanted to know how you didn't get any, because today a whole lot more kids get looked from college than when I was playing. You didn't have people send them videos. In fact, I had scouts come to my game, and my coach told them, he gets down on himself and throws his helmet a lot. And I'm thinking, you know, can you imagine saying that today, you know, a kid that, you know, he has a chance of going to college, and as a coach, who in the heck says something like that?
Right.
But despite him, I still rolled on. But
you did pretty well.
And I know a lot of the kids that ended up going places that I thought, geez, they weren't even that good in high school. So how in the world did you not get somebody all over? I just don't, that part I didn't get.
Yeah.
What position and everything? Give me, you know,
so
how it.
I was always a shortstop.
Okay.
I was always a shortstop from the time I was a little kid until, honestly, all the way through college. I think maybe I was a little bit behind the eight ball on how to get recruited the new way. The prep baseball report, the perfect game, that stuff was all new, and those are the recruiting, I don't even know how to call it, but those were the places where you could go and showcase all your talents and everything. Right. So I went to a couple of those, but I think the old school mentality, and I don't know if this is just because I'm Italian or whatnot, but the old school mentality was just work hard, they'll come find you, and it'll all be good. And that's not necessarily how this business works. And I think baseball started to really shift into a big business, more of a business, whenever I was in the middle of that transition from high school to college. So I was on the Allegheny Pirates scout team. So that's the Pittsburgh Pirates scout team. But I wasn't getting any college looks. So, and I got invited to, there was an old man named Keno Beezer.
Oh.
He was heavily involved in the MLB scouting bureau. And he was all over me, and I went out to the middle of the state, and we had these MLB Scouting Bureau workouts and stuff. But they came to me with that stuff. I didn't know to go make any kind of connections. And I think for those
about the Scouting Bureau, the Scouting Bureau's a dinosaur now. Back then, the way scouting flowed was, you had guys that worked for Major League Baseball. They didn't work for a specific affiliated team. And they would go out and they would find guys, and then they would turn in the reports. The reports they turned in would then go out to all 30 teams, and the 30 teams picked who they went to see. Now, the Scouting Bureau was an absolute genius thing, had the best people. They ran Scout School, which I attended, and it was always, and Keno Beezer, you know, 6 degrees of separation. Back when I was first coaching Levy, I was told by somebody, because we couldn't buy players back then, and they were like, go somewhere nobody goes. So I made a couple calls, and I ended up out in central Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And I went to Keno Beezer's workout. And lo and behold, you get up there in the hills, players everywhere. But there's guys like that. Like, the old school was, if you play, they'll find you. And now it's become this, go to this showcase, go to that showcase, pay all this money.
It's who do you know?
There's no question about that. There's a lot of networking.
Yes.
A lot of networking. We've made a business out of that with our connectivity. But like I said, when you get into Keno Beezer was old school, and if he liked the kid, he liked the kid, and he'd put it out there. But if you never came across a Keno Beezer, you could be unbelievable.
Yeah.
And
honestly,
nobody'd see you.
I don't even remember how I came across him. I really don't. I'm pretty sure it had to do with the Allegheny Pirates.
Probably Freddie Albert with the Pirates.
With the Allegheny Pirates. But it was back to that, it was weird, because it was like I was getting tickled enough to where it was like, dude, you're good enough to do this. Like, you can do whatever you want with this game. And then on the other end, it was like, okay, well, where is all the, like, the actual attention? Because we talked about Brendan McKay. I kid you not, there was, I can still see the day, there was 25 MLB teams in our press box. He was pitching. There's 25 in the press box. All every pitch, the guns came up.
You hear the click.
And when
Tommy, you hear the clicks.
When I'm,
you know what I mean?
When
like
I'm
petty,
telling
click,
you,
click, 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 click.
When I'm telling you, there was 40 Division I schools lined up along the fence by our dugout. There was 40, at least, and they were just lined up watching him, and it was just weird. It was weird because after a couple of them would approach me. I remember that game. I was 3 for 4. I had a really good game that game specifically, and like there was a couple coaches that would just come up to me and be like, "Hey, keep doing your thing. We really like you." And then I didn't know that I was supposed to follow back up with them.
Who would know that?
I just didn't. That's how I think it was shifting, and I was behind the eight ball. Like I said, the old school mentality.
I would have been the same way.
And the protocol, yeah. Like I said, that's why I wanted you to kind of talk to him about it because you are both very similar creatures in your how the game played out for you. You know, if you weren't in the right place at the right time, and this guy saw you, yeah. You know, mine was Steve Arnold when I left Hiram. I got snowed into going, and God bless the school, great academic school. Baseball, they weren't very good, and they came, and I was a pretty good academic, supposedly. I had everybody fooled, and they called, and hey, you know, we got this, we got that, and I'm like, and I had other schools, but I was just like, it was my mom and dad, I was going to go be a teacher, and it was a great teacher's college, and so I get there, and then the reality of it sets in. It's like, they're not very good, and so then I was working out in the summer, you know, when we played together. I'm down at Packard Park hitting balls off the backstop off a tee. And Steve Arnold, the former football coach and basketball coach at Harding, he was playing at Ohio Dominion. He's playing basketball. He saw me. He goes, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, I'm just working out." Because where are you going to school? I said, "Hiring, but I'm kind of looking at." He goes, "I'll make a phone call for you right now." He says, "They need a shortstop right now." He goes, "The kid they had got drafted, fourth round by the Dodgers." He goes, "And they're looking." He goes, "Let me make a call." He called the recruiting director there, and then head coach called me. I was playing ball in South Carolina that summer, and came back and away we went. But if Stevie wasn't working for the city, driving through the park, working for the parks department,
right place, right
I'm
time.
I'm still at Hiram, probably. I don't know, but you know, you've run into that. Joe's yeah. Absolutely Forrest Gump with that. The people that he's crisscrossed at workouts, and once he got into pro ball, and the people that took him under their wing, and you know, it's amazing. But we're gonna let him tell. But Tommy, you fire away with him because, like I said,
I know one thing. I was always under the impression back when I was. Good. I thought I was the greatest player that's ever lived. So, not knowing, we didn't have any travel baseball.
Yeah.
You played in your area.
Yeah.
And eventually, if you were good enough, you went to Alliance and played in the Hot Stove tournament there. So, I had no knowledge. I'm thinking, heck, I all stayed here. I'm 11-0. Nobody can touch me. And then I got the off, you know, to Kent State. So, I go there. In the middle of that, the coach left, so they got a new coach from Worcester.
Jeez.
He comes.
He
in.
Got Morgan.
Morgan, yep. He doesn't know me from Adam Ant. Now I'm looking around. I'm just a number on my back. Everyone looks as good as me. Like I'm like, wow. I thought this was going to be different than this. And you were just a guy lined up hitting ground balls and seeing how you could throw the ball from the hole. Okay, get out. Yep. I mean, no, hey, Tom, no, nothing. 271 out. You know, just,
next.
Yeah, I'm getting thrown. But what I thought was the best thing was all these guys are sitting there, and they went, okay, you, come over here. Not Tom. Not, hey, Tom. You, come here. I want you to swing. Go ahead. The pitching machine swing. He goes, now that is how you swing a ball bat. And I thought, oh, my gosh.
You're in.
That's it. It wasn't it. It was a struggle like you can't believe. And some of the guys couldn't take the practices with the school. You know, I had gone to school for physics, so it was extremely difficult. But you didn't blow off practices. You didn't. You have no even think about
especially
that.
Bob Morgan.
Yeah.
The guy, yeah. People don't understand it. Kent has been a cradle of big-time coaches because you had Danny Hall. and he was there, and that's who recruited. That was the head coach. And then
Jerry.
Then Morgan. Jim. Then Morgan came. Danny Hall went to Georgia Tech. Bob Morgan went to Indiana.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Rem showed up. Rick Rembelek showed up, and he was there forever. Then he left and went to Wake Forest. Scotty Strickland comes, and he outdoes them all. He ends up at Georgia, 6-7 years, and then he's let go. The guy that's there now was originally a minor league guy with the Mets, and he stayed a little bit. But there's always, because what these guys do in the big time schools is they're looking for some mid level guy, you know, that's been super successful. The kid that was at Western Michigan, he kind of made a lateral move. Like, he was the next hot ticket. And he was smart, seeing that a lot of these guys from Imperial go down to the Southern schools.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't get it done right away, they're gone. Like, Strick was over 500 at Georgia, but he couldn't get it done in the SEC. And
it's just amazing, all the opportunities. But the way I look at it now, when we were young, we didn't have anything else to do. You had three channels on TV. You either played hide and go seek, or you made a game.
We talk about this every week.
But you, and then baseball was it, and you only had so much time to do that. When it's over, there's no venue to go hit. There's no all these things that kids have now. But I don't know if that is a good or bad thing, because now it looks like, as I'm umpiring and I was coaching my son for you, I'm seeing a lot of good players in the area, in the young, 10, 12, 13, good arms and stuff. And then all of a sudden, they get to high school. They barely can put a team out. Half, you know, some, they're either really good or no good. It's just weird. Where do all these kids go? Do they just quit? Do they get tired of it? Do they go to soccer? Do they go to playing Barbie dolls? I don't know what happens in the middle of that.
More and more, yeah.
And you would know that, because that's basically your generation. You know, I've seen it happen. Champion has the greatest youth kids. They're the best at football. They're the best. And then they get up to high school, they can't beat anybody.
Yeah.
Their football team is a laughing stock. And I'm sitting here thinking, between Niles, Hallen, and Champion, could they even field a football team to stay in a game? Those are major schools with good sports reputation.
Good people.
What the heck is going on?
Yeah.
Jerry, let me ask you this, not to interrupt Tommy.
How many
guys that you grew up playing with? Because, I mean, you played with some dudes, Allegheny Pirates and everything. How many are done and you're still going? Guys that were supposedly in the scouting scale better than you?
Most of them.
Wow.
Most of them
they
are.
Give up that.
He's talking about Brandt. He was first rounder. This kid he's talking about that he played high school with, he
is
was
he
a player
playing?
Of the year.
He's not playing anymore?
Hurt. So here's the thing. He got three surgeries.
He was Ohtani.
Big time surgeries.
Oh, wow.
He debuted with the Rays and everything. But for three straight years, 4 years actually, he was hurt. He was on the injured list for the whole entire year. He had labrum surgery first, thoracic outlet second, and then he thought he was good, came back, needed Tommy John.
Oh.
But he was, a lot of
is
people...
Is he still in there? Is he still
That's what
around.
I mean. This year, he took this year off, was like, I think I might be done. So we'll see what he does
disaster.
Next year.
But he was Ohtani before Ohtani hit the big leagues.
Yes, he was.
Two-way guy.
He was.
That's the Olerud Award, that he was the best... Two-way guy, and
he won it 3 years in a row. Freshman, sophomore, he went to Louisville. So freshman, sophomore, and junior year was a fourth overall pick that year. Won that award three times. Won the Golden Spikes. You know, the Heisman.
A Northern kid, fourth pick. Fourth pick, a Northern kid, and that's why I would like.
So
I would.
What's your shot? You got a chance at making it, or what?
Tell him a story, Joe. Tell him how it rolled.
I like to believe I do, you know.
Okay, well, you better believe
I like to
do.
Believe I do.
You gotta believe.
You know, and we'll just rewind to 23, okay, 2023. I was 2 or 3 years into pro ball at this point, just independent baseball. And I got a call, actually, from Clint Hurdle. Actually, here, let's rewind even before that. I had an agent. And he sent a list of players to the Royals scout. I don't even remember his name, but they had a workout going down in Arizona. So they said, hey, why don't you come down and work out? I said, all right, cool. So I went down. I thought it was going to be more private. really wasn't that private. Okay, it was like all the dudes I was already playing with.
Oh,
and wow. But we went down and I did good. I hit a nuke during the live at bats and caught really well, and I had a good day. I had a good day at this workout. So I went up and talked with the Royal Scout after, and he was like, "Yeah, like we'll be in touch. We'll, you know, like they all say." And 6 a.m. I'll never forget it. Actually, it was 5:45 in the morning. I was driving the rental car back to the airport because I was gonna fly back home, and I get a call from Clint Hurdle. Okay, and
wow.
Clint Hurdle was kind of like, he was in the mix, but he wasn't. One of my really good friends, Jason Grilley. He's like family.
He's a closer for the Pirates.
Yeah, he's a 14-year big leaguer. Was an all star. Yeah, really good guy.
Guy's got the same hair.
Yeah, he does. But he hooked me up with Clint for like 2 years. We were talking, and we were like, hey, maybe Clint can get you a workout or something. So yeah. We were just talking, but. So, like I said, 5:45 in the morning, Clint calls me. I'm on the way to the airport. He said, "Hey, are you still down in Arizona?" And I was like, "Yeah, what's going on?"
Turn left.
He was like, "Don't get on the plane. I'll call you right back." Click. And he hung up. And I was like, all right. So I remember I pulled off into the CVS parking lot. Yeah, I was sitting in this parking lot for 5 minutes, and it felt like 5 hours. Because in my head, I'm like, what in the world is going on right now? I was like, I'm going to miss my flight. Oh. I was like, but this could be awesome. Like, I was, you know, I didn't know where my head was everywhere. And he called me right back, and he goes, "Hey, we have our top prospect camp this week," which was all their, you know, their top guys in the org. He was like, why don't you just shoot over to us and work out with us for the week and help out. And I was like, all right. And he was like, "Can you do that?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll figure it out."
No,
so, yeah.
I had to get back home and cut.
No,
the
I have
grass.
To go. I have okay. to go home and shovel snow.
Yeah, so I was like, "Yeah, I'll figure it out." He was like, "All right, like, do you need somewhere to stay? We can put you in the hotel." And yes. I was like. I have one of my best friends. He's like a brother to me. He'll be in my wedding. Brantley Bell. Okay, his dad was Jay Bell, 17-year big leaguer.
Oh heck yeah, I know Jay Bell.
But Brantley Bell, he lives down there, and I played with him the year before. And I was like, "Hey," I was like, "No, I can stay with him. I guarantee it." So I was like, "No, Clint, don't worry about it. Just keep me updated on where I gotta be when." He's like, "Okay." So I called Brantley. He was like, "Hey," and Clint was with the Rockies at this point.
Yeah.
I said, "The Rockies just called me." I said, "Clint called me. Wants me to come and work out." He's like, "Yeah, you can stay, whatever." Right? So workout game, okay, against the Rockies do everything so early in the morning. I started to learn this after I got signed. but during this workout, 7 o'clock in the morning, I show up, and they get me outfitted with, you know, just some gear and stuff, and they're like, "All right, hey, let's get you working out." And, you know, it never rains down in the desert, in Phoenix. But this day, for some reason, it poured, right? So the day pretty much got canceled.
It was an omen.
So they just took us into the cages, and they were like, "Hey, let's get some workouts done in the cages. We're going to do some catching drills. We're going to let you hit. We'll go from there." All right, cool. So we all just kind of went in there. Was just, you know, we were BSing, just talking, you know, just being guys.
Yeah.
And again, I showed out. I did really well. I was hot this week for some reason in the middle of the off season, but it went well. They were like talking me up the whole time. I heard it out of the, you know, I heard it from behind me, and you know, I get out.
Yeah,
they were like, "Hey, what?" Yeah, they're like, "Hey, why don't you go to the cafeteria and eat with the guys?" I was like, "All right, cool." I mean, I thought this was the plan anyway, because they said they wanted me to hang out and work out. So they're like, "Just go to the cafeteria and eat with the guys." I was like, "All right." So I remember the farm director, Chris Forbes. He walked up to me in front of everybody, and just like at lunch, and just put his arm around me. He was like, "Hey, did you sign your contract yet?" And I was like, "What?" I was like, what are you talking about?
No, but I will.
Yeah. And he was like, "Oh,
don't have to twist my arm."
Yeah, he was like, "Oh, we'll be in touch. And I was like, "All right." So at this point, I'm on a high and I'm also on a low, because I'm like, I don't know. Like, they didn't just give me it yet. Like, I don't know what's going on. So I saw Clint walk out of the cafeteria. I walk out into the hall and I look at Clint. I'm like, "Clint, what's going on?" I'm like, do I need to stay now? Like, what do you guys want me to do? He said, go wait in the locker room. There's a lot of waiting in this process. Go wait in the locker room. So I went waiting in the locker room. He walked in about 10 minutes later, and he said, hey, he was like, you can go home. He's like, you're good to go home. And I was like, all right. And I shook his hand, and I was like, well, thank you for letting me work out. And he walked towards the door, and he walked out the door, and then he peeked his head back around. I could still see it, and was like, oh, it's a good thing. Don't worry, Joe. And I was like, oh, all right, cool.
So, oh, it's a good thing you said
so
that.
Three, so
this is how they all do it. They never tell you. They can't tell you straight. Like, we used to get told, like, you know, a parent would walk up to you, what round do you think my son's going to go? And I'd be like, it's Russian roulette. They go, why? I said, because if one guy goes out of place of where the order is, you know, the whole domino effect changes everything. And then you have kids that the parents will come up to you and go, where's my son getting drafted? And he's not on anybody's list. And you're going,
by the army?
Yeah, yeah. You know, you're talking about, you know, whichever. But like I said, and they, most baseball people are wonderful people to hang out with. They're eternal juveniles. Even the front office guys, they're terrible communicators. Like telling you, hey, your shoelaces are the wrong color. Mm-hmm. It'll take them a week.
Yep.
Like, you got to change your
letter. And then you'll get a letter.
Yeah, you get a letter. You get an email or a letter. So it's not somebody walking up.
So 3 days later, okay, every day something small started to happen. Like, the MLB has to call you to make sure that you're cleared and official and everything. So one day the MLB called me, and I was like, oh, I'm like, this process is starting. And then one of my teammates that I played with before that was with the Rockies then called me and was like, hey, they just came up asking about you and all this stuff. So, like, every day, like, something happened. And then finally, I actually flew back home. And I was coaching at Ashland University at this point hitting coach. So I was on the flight. I got back home, was pulling into the campus at this point. And director of player development called me, Jesse Stender, and he was like, hey, it's Jesse from the Rockies, we purchased your contract, are you okay with that? I was like, no.
I want to wreck my car.
Yeah.
And for everybody to understand this, and Joe's being very, very modest here about the work that he put in, because like I said, he came to me, we met each other slightly after Slippery Rock, mm-hmm. and we call it in the business, he didn't have any run. And we specialize in run. And I would call, and I'd call scouts and go, hey, how did this kid fall through the cracks? Well, you know, it's the PSAC, it's cold weather. You know, I go, well, there's been a ton of arms that got to the big leagues. He said, oh, position guys. I said, okay. Wow. And then I said to Joe, and God bless, I've said a lot of things to a lot of players, but this one rang true. I said, Joe, I said, we got to look at trends here. And he goes, what's that? I said, you're fast, but you're not super fast. Everybody knows you can hit. What we've got to get off the idea of is now you got to be a super utility guy. Mm-hmm. Now, can you play left field? Can you play first base? Can you play? Can you do everything? And God bless. And I said, the other thing you better go learn to do is catch.
Yeah.
And that was that. And he went and he learned to catch. And that was the thing that kind of put him over the hump. He started to get a lot of run or sign-wise, organizationally. He became JT Real Muto, but I could play everywhere else. And God bless, he's still running today.
Yeah. Yeah, catching is definitely the in for somebody in my shoes right now.
Yes,
for sure. It provides a lot of opportunity.
Look at the Nola kid. He just got signed for like the fifth time. He's a shortstop in college.
So I'm getting the hurry
up. Boy, that flew, huh?
Yeah, I'm getting it.
We're going to have Joe back for part 2.
We're going to have to because there's a lot more
we
want to get into.
There is.
Dang, well, we want to talk to the kids about understanding the reality.
This is important for people that are maybe in this process, maybe not even quite in this process, that this is the process, and maybe they give up and just say, heck with it.
Right.
You're telling them, hey, this is how it works now. You don't just get a call, hey, come on down and sign your contract. Apparently that doesn't work like that.
No, just all the details and all the why. I was a part of it with them. The highs and lows, you know, like people saying, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. And like I said, it's a huge up to Joe for the amount of determination. He just never let him take it away from him.
So currently your status is exactly what? before we let you go and then have to bring you back.
Technically, I'm a free agent right now.
Free agent.
Yeah, because again, this story isn't happily ever after I got signed. Okay. There was a lot of bumps in the road.
We definitely want to hear that.
Immediately right after, and that's where it gets even more interesting.
And that's what we want people to hear.
We got to wrap this up here.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm trying to figure out how to wrap it up.
Best way, we're going to have, now that we got into this so deep, we're going to have Joe back next week.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
We're going to have to get all this.
Because
this is one of the better ones. This is one of the better subject matters for all our people.
Joe Campagna.
There it is.
I got that
Campagna.
Right. Took me the whole show to kept saying it to myself. Hey, by the way, before we go, Nostra Thomas 2-0 on his picks. I got two for you. Two easy wins. Okay, the Bears are actually getting 6 points against Ravens at home. The Ravens couldn't stop us three here. So you take that, and you make sure that you also take the Buffalo Bills -7 against the Panthers. They got to prove something. It'll be this Sunday. Well, I was glad to sit here and I could have listened to that.
Oh, all day.
I'm telling you that
like
right
I said,
now.
I'm just so proud of him because I was a small. You know, he's always called me, hey, how's this, you know, what do you see? And that he's kept me in his journey. And for the fans of Diamond Nine, so Tommy always said, what's going on? Joe's going to be guesting. He's going to come down. He's bringing another teammate of his. We're going to be doing some pro
kids,
guy
man.
Stuff that the kids can get involved with. And we're going to have him speak the story firsthand right in the building. And like I said, we'll have some more announcements and everything.
Well, you got Mike Case's kids now.
How about
better
that?
Do good or
we got all the entertainment people. You know we're
him
rolling.
Striking out or something.
All
you
the local
that.
Entertainment's coming to see us. Go ahead. You fire off some of our sponsors. I'll get up mine.
Oh, yeah. We got a thanks a lot, 422, Candywood Restaurants, TJ Perline Asphalt. And there's going to be a lot more, but go ahead, Jimmy.
My DNR Audio, my dear friend and brother, Damon LaRiviere, anybody ever needs anything in the audio world, weddings, you got a presentation, anything like that, he's the guy to call. We'll be sure to put his number out. The Levy family, Gatta Construction, we talked about 422.
The Den.
Enzo's, The Den, our place, Jesse DiGiacomo, great guy. The other ones? Franklin Healthcare, the Manios family.
The Manios.
That have been integral to what we've done over the years.
Yes, they are. Thanks, Carl, as always.
Yes.
Appreciate
Carl the
you.
Ogre strikes again. We'll see you guys. Have a great week.
Thanks.